Let's begin today by reading 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 through chapter 3, verse 3. 1 John chapter 2, we'll begin reading in verse 28. John says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." This is a passage about the second coming of Jesus Christ. We sometimes wonder what it will be like in that day, and the Bible tells us some facts about that. The Bible says that Jesus will come in flaming fire. He will come with his mighty angels. The world will be judged. The dead will be raised. What will it be like for Christian people? How should Christian people look at that day, and how will Christian people feel in that day? John tells us something about that in this passage. Notice that he begins in verse 28 saying that we must abide in him. We must not leave the Lord. We must not turn our backs on Jesus. The Bible says that in Jesus' lifetime, many people left him. In John 6, verse 66, the Bible says, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." That happened while Jesus was on the earth working miracles. That happened as he was living a sinless life before these people and was the perfect teacher of God's word. And still, the Bible says that many who had been following him turned back and followed him no more. If that happened when Jesus was on the earth working miracles, it will happen today. And Jesus said that it would happen. In Matthew 13, verses 19 through 23, Jesus gave the parable of the sower, in which he showed that some will receive the word of God and some will receive it with joy, but when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, then they stumble. Others are choked with the cares and the riches of this life, and they become unfruitful. So this happened in Jesus' day, and it does happen today. This is why John and other New Testament writers tell us that we must persevere. We must abide in him. We must continue in the faith. John says to Christians then and to Christians today, abide in him so that when he shall appear, we may have confidence. Notice the word appear. John says that Jesus is going to appear someday. The Bible says in Acts 1, verses 9 through 11, that as Jesus ascended up into heaven, angels told the disciples that he would come in like manner as they saw him go into heaven. They saw him go into heaven, and people will see Jesus come down from heaven in that last great day. The Bible says when that happens, we can have confidence. He says, abide in him so that when he does appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Christians can have confidence when Jesus comes again. And the Bible tells us how. The Bible says, abide in him. Walk in the light. Live according to the commandments of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Abide in him. And the Bible says in that day we may have confidence and we don't have to be ashamed before him at his coming. Think about the difference between the way that a faithful Christian looks at the judgment day and, on the other hand, the way that an alien sinner or an erring child of God looks at the judgment. The Christian looks at the judgment and looks forward to that day. A Christian looks at that day as the time of the final reward. But a person who is lost is afraid of that day. The Bible says, especially in the life and in the heart of a child of God who has left the Lord, that there is a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. That's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 27. The Bible says, what is left in the heart of a child of God who is sinning willfully against the Lord is this fearful expectation of the judgment. The Bible says that the way that we as Christians can avoid fearing the judgment and then being ashamed at the judgment is to live for Him right now. So if we don't want to be ashamed before the Lord in the judgment day, then we need to live a life where we're not ashamed of our lives right now. If we want to have confidence in the judgment day, then we need to live our lives so that we can confidently say, I am doing the Lord's will. And in those ways in which we have fallen short, the Bible says we confess our sins and He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. He's not saying that you have to be sinless in order to have this confidence before Him in the judgment day, but He does say that we must abide in Him, we must walk in the light. Now, let's look at chapter 3, verse 1, at what He says about this judgment day. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. What kind of love has God shown to us? What kind of honor has God bestowed upon us? He says, here is that honor. Here is the extent of the love that God has for us. It is that we should be called the sons of God. What an honor that is. And what kind of love God showed for us in that He was willing to send His Son to die for our sins. He's saying we need to step back and we need to think about how great that love is. That love is so great that although we were sinners and deserved hellfire, the Bible says that God bestowed His love upon us in forgiving us of our sins when we obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, he says, because of this, because of the fact that we are the sons of God, the world does not know us. He doesn't mean that the world doesn't know our name or know anything about us, or even that the world doesn't know anything about what we believe. The world knows our name, or it knows who we are and what we believe and what we stand for, and that is why the world does not know us in the way that he's talking about. When he says the world does not know us, he means the world does not receive us. The world does not approve of us. He says the world does not know us in the same way and for the same reason that it did not know him, that is Jesus. Now, John chapter 1, verse 10 says that he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. That is, the world did not receive him. The world did not accept Jesus Christ. And because we follow Jesus and we live like Jesus, the world does not approve of us either. So he says, don't be surprised about that. As a matter of fact, down in chapter 3, in this same chapter, in verse 13, he says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked when people in the world hate you. Because Jesus said in John chapter 15, if they've hated me, they will hate you. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you also. John 15, verse 18 and 20. John goes on to explain more about the second coming of Jesus Christ and what it will be like for Christians in that day. He's already said in chapter 2, verse 28, that we can have confidence when Jesus comes. And now, in chapter 3, verse 2, he talks about our state, our condition before him, and what it will be like for us when he returns. He says in chapter 3, verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. We do know some things about what it will be like in the resurrection day, because the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and in many other passages, the Bible talks about what it will be like in heaven, but we don't fully understand it. So John says, it does not yet appear what we shall be. But he does say this, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. for we shall see him as he is. The one thing that we do know, John says, is that we will be like him. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, that when Jesus returns, he will change our vile bodies that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Now that passage complements and helps us to understand 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. What will Christians be like in that last day? What is heaven going to be like for us? The Bible says that we will be like him. And our body will be fashioned. It will be changed. Our bodies will be transformed to be like his body. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that there is a natural body, that's your physical body, and there is a spiritual body. Your natural body is made of the dust of the ground, and it will return to the dust of the ground. But that spiritual body will live on and on. That spiritual body will not decay, it will not become sick, it will not grow old, and it will never die. That is the kind of body that the Bible says we will have in the resurrection day. So although we can't fully understand, and as a matter of fact, we are very limited in what we can understand about what it will be like in heaven, one thing we do know, John says, is that when Jesus appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And in that day, we will have a different state. We will be in a different condition as far as our existence is concerned. Remember that the Bible also says in Luke chapter 20, verse 36, that we will be equal to the angels. Here, the Bible says, we are created a little lower than the angels, Psalm 8, verse 5. But there, the Bible says, we will be equal to the angels because we cannot die anymore. We will see him as he is in that day, and we will be like him. Verse 3 is a very important verse about the here and now. Verse 3 says that the way that we look at the judgment day, the mindset that we have about the second coming of Christ shapes and molds the way that we live. Look at verse 3. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself. What hope is John talking about here? This is very important. It's the hope of Jesus appearing. It's the hope of Jesus coming. It is exactly what he just talked about in verse 2. He says, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And he said, if we have that hope in us, if we have that frame of mind within our hearts, we will purify ourselves. He's talking about purifying our hearts and our lives here. He's not talking about becoming pure when Jesus comes. He's saying that if we have this hope within us right now, if our mind is on heaven, and as Jesus said, if we lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, that hope will purify our hearts and our lives because it will lead us to live a godly life. It will lead us to fear God and keep his commandments. It will motivate us to walk in the light as he is in the light, and then the blood of Jesus will cleanse us, that is, purify us from all sins. Do you want to have a pure life? Do you want to be purer in heart and in life? The Bible says if we think about the second coming enough, if we meditate deeply enough on it and believe in it with all of our heart, and as Christians have the hope of the second coming of Jesus Christ, then that hope will purify our lives. And that is why Christian people need to hear about and think about and read about the second coming as often as possible.